All right, people, we're back. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. Adam and TJ are here. What's up, guys?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Chicago Bulls. Let's go.
This guy. He denounced his team, if I'm not mistaken. He said he was over him. He said he was wanted the season over. He said he wouldn't have no part to do with the Bulls. He burnt jerseys, you know, and now he's a Bulls fan.
In one of the worst attempts at tanking in the history of the NBA, your 10-seed Chicago Bulls go into Toronto. And thanks to DeMar DeRozan, her 36 screams, Zach LaVine's 39 points, knock off the Toronto Raptors in the 9-10 game. They now go to Miami tomorrow. The Heat lose at home to Atlanta. Oh, my gosh. Where do we start? Adam, just walk us through your range of emotion watching the game last night. We'll just start there. Down 19 in the third quarter. Down what, a dozen to start the fourth quarter? Mm-hmm. Walk us through, how was it watching that last night?
I expected the worst. So I expected the Bulls to lose. I expected we'd maybe put up a fight, but ultimately lose the game. When I saw we were down 19 points, at that point, I was about to say, it's over. I'm taking a shower. I'm done with this team. I'm not even going to watch the rest of this. I had just done some push-ups. I'd done 200 push-ups, so I'm really sore right now.
Look at this guy.
Feeling good right now, but a little sore.
I did
my push-ups, and I'm still watching the game. I see we're down 19. I'm like, I think I'm just going to take a shower and just, it's over. Yeah.
This is done.
But then all of a sudden, you know, I see Zach LaVine. He starts to get on fire. And the thing of Zach LaVine is he's such a talented player. He frustrates me because he can have these moments of brilliance where he looks like he can be the number one guy in a championship level team. But then he also has these moments where he looks like he's like the third or fourth best player. He's so inconsistent. He has the talent. But when he gets on fire, it is so fun to watch. So he started to hit some shots. Then all of a sudden I'm hearing some screams. I'm hearing this one in particular loud scream. I'm like, what is that? Every time the Raptors shoot a free throw. And like Rich and you guys mentioned on the big show, ESPN started to detail who is screaming so incredibly annoying and so incredibly loud. And of course it was DeMar DeRozan's daughter.
Incredible.
And I don't like this behavior. I have to be honest.
Listen, I am being honest.
I don't like this behavior because it encourages future awful screaming and yelling. And screaming like that, like a shriek, like a loud shriek to me is like nails on a backboard. It stresses me out. So I understand why people would be annoyed around her. At the same time, at the same time when it did happen, was the best time possible. The only time I approve of that was during yesterday's game. I don't want it to happen again, but during yesterday's game, she was back home in Toronto. She was probably born there, and it was hilarious. So I don't even know what to think. Like, it was such an incredible game.
She unquestionably affected the game, right?
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, kayfabe, yeah sure. That's a wrestling term that means we're going to keep it real. No, she didn't. But let's just run with it and say yes, that she did. She did affect.
How could she not?
Because you're in a loud arena, first and foremost.
But you could hear it on the broadcast.
Yeah, you could hear it through the broadcast. But
is that just because it looked like she was under the basket?
She was under the basket. Right. There's mics.
We know there's mics.
Thanks to Mike Del Tufo, we know how many mics are usually around the basket. So, and she was right there. I mean, look, yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, sure. She affected the game.
They
for
shot
sure.
50%.
The difference is usually at NBA games, there's a bunch of fans screaming at once, so it kind of blends in, so it doesn't bother the player at the free throw line as much. But when there's one sudden shriek, it startles you.
Also,
that's the difference.
It's a home game.
Adam, these are GAM grown-ass men. I don't think they're getting startled on the basketball court.
I know,
court.
But you do like, hear it after a while.
You can
right?
hear it, but that was making it seem like they got afraid or something.
It's when you're about to shoot and you're about to follow through, when you hear a loud, that can affect your shot. Absolutely, it can.
And it's a Toronto home game, right? So it's you would assume that it's quiet.
That's the thing. That was my only
during
thing.
Free throws, and then all of a sudden it's this loud shriek as you're about to release. I don't know. Like they missed 18 free throws.
Yeah, they were 18 for 36.
You make five more. You shoot 64% instead of 50%. 64% from the line, still bad.
I mean,
and you win the game.
I've heard 36 shrieks. I'll grant you maybe six of them led to missed foul shots, which
that's
made them lose the game.
Yeah.
So therefore,
she
had. MVP. And by the way, DeMar's saying she's not going to Miami. That's the wrong way to look at this.
Wrong
I feel
attitude.
Like her entire class should take a trip to Miami because they can learn about ocean life.
Yep.
They can learn about fish during the day, you know, and then they can take in the game at night. So it's a learning trip.
DeMar should pay for the whole class plus teachers
to go.
Oh, for
to
sure.
To go down.
That's what I'm saying. And then you could take them, like I said, let's learn about the ocean today. Let's learn about, you know, fish and whales and, you know, whatever else is growing in those waters. And well, I mean, it might be a little too soon for the nightlife, you know. Maybe you
Human
know they
food.
Could maybe they could have Dave Human Gretman food. Come over and give them a tour of Liv or something, you know, while it's still closed. I don't know if Gretman runs Liv anymore, but, you know, why not? Bring all the kids down.
Adam, where do you come to grips with you wanted this team to lose when it was obvious that you had no shot this year, right? You want to tank for Vic, and now you're a game away from the eighth seed in a matchup with Milwaukee.
I'm all in. Let's go for it.
You're back.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. The tank dream has been over. We still have the dream of beating Miami. And then guess what? We play the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, they have Giannis. Whatever. Never say never.
You're
Let's go. I'm all in now.
You're throwing I'm this we in. Around like you didn't discard this team like
it's always we, TJ.
You know, like a paper towel after you got done scrubbing your hands after you went to the bathroom. You just Kobe'd them into the trash, and now you're back to we now. I don't know.
It's always been we. Even when I've talked about this team and complained, it's always we. Because I'm a Bulls fan for life. Don't ever get it twisted.
Adam, you do know how, like, tape works, right? You know, you can go back and review something.
Yeah.
That's how these microphones, when you speak into them, you know, they what you say is it's documented for eternity.
That's the experience of a fan. You're with them, you're against them, you're ultimately with them. You just have kind of, you break up for a little bit. It's like Ross and Rachel. We were on a break.
Yeah, I was on a little break with the Bulls. Come on. I was a little frustrated.
You're
I had
back.
To go find myself. The
You're
Bulls
back.
Had to go find themselves, and now we're
Chances
back.
Chances in Miami tomorrow night? What are you going to do? You going to knock them off? I have no faith in this Miami team. They no-showed hard against Atlanta.
The problem with the Bulls is this team has been so inconsistent the entire year, where we can look amazing one game, and then the next game we lose against the Houston Rockets, like when my dad and I went to the game and we lost to the worst team in the league. So that's the problem with this team. Very talented, but so inconsistent. I kind of think we blew our load against the Raptors.
I don't know if you could say that here,
I don't think. Well, we're on YouTube. It's okay.
Family show.
Do I think the Bulls have a chance to win? Yes, but if I'm putting money on it, I say that the Heat will win the game. Although a lot has to do with if Kyle Lowry will play. He's questionable for the game tomorrow.
He's their best player.
Yeah, he had like 33, I think, in the last game. So if he doesn't play, that's a huge loss for them. I could see us beating them. If they're fully healthy with Lowry back, then I'm going Heat, though.
You're going Heat?
I'm going Heat, unfortunately. I don't want to say that, but I just have to be honest in what I'm talking about. So, yeah I'm going with the Heat. What about you guys? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I have no faith in Miami. If we want to take it back 2 days.
Wait a minute. Like, less than a week ago, you were sitting here. We were talking about, hey, Miami could get hot. They could win. And now you have no faith in them?
Just watching them play on Tuesday. Really? You have faith? Watching that game, they had... They couldn't rebound. They couldn't shoot. Jimmy Butler was like, what was he, 5 of 19 or something, or 6 of 19? It was really
six
bad.
6 of 19, yeah.
It was really bad. And Bam got totally, you know, ineffective, chewed up by Capella's D. Capella had 4 points, 21 rebounds. Mm-hmm. He was everywhere affecting that game.
Clint Rodman.
And I just think kind of after that, the fans are deflated. They're going to show up mad late. If they show up at all, I think Chicago's going to go in and beat them.
There's a lot of rain down in Miami. Apparently, I see streets are flooding. Maybe that keeps people away.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how far Fort Lauderdale's away from where the Heat play, but
I don't know. I was pretty surprised at how Miami played at home like that. I mean, Trae Young has just kind of a knack now with DeJounte Murray. They have a knack for kind of showing up in big games. So
let's not forget, 2 years ago, this team went to the conference finals.
Yeah,
they were on fire.
DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, they were on fire. You know, Collins played above, you know, he played incredible. And Trae Young became kind of like a star during that run. So Yeah, who knows?
I'm gonna give the Bulls I'm gonna give the Bulls a shot. It's pretty wide open there. Now, are they gonna upset Milwaukee if they advance? No, absolutely not. Neither team. They'll probably get swept, which is fine. Gentlemen sweep, whatever. Milwaukee is the favorite to win the title. You're supposed to get swept or lose in five games in that series. But, you know, for what the Bulls were this year, the injuries, to even make the playoffs at all, to be one of the final eight, that's a pretty big deal.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's all right.
I mean, I know, look, you're not in the lottery, but you weren't going to get the top pick anyway. You had a 2% chance if you even made it. So why not be in the playoffs and give yourself a shot?
Well, yeah, that's kind of why I've just gotten to the point where I'm just like, all right, well, whatever. I guess I'll root for us going forward, because I realize our chances of getting the number one pick is just astronomically low. Even though I think when the Bulls did get the number one pick with Derrick Rose in 2008, I think it was something like 2 or 3% chance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a very low percentage chance. So you never know.
You never know.
That's why the Mavericks tanked. So you never know.
It's a weird move. The other game last night, kind of a ho-hum, back and forth, high scoring. It was entertaining. Josh Giddey almost had a triple-double. He's been awesome. Shea, obviously, has been showing out all year. Thunder beat the Pelicans, so now they play the T-Wolves tomorrow. Do we know if Rudy Gobert's back? I didn't see any of that today. Obviously suspended for the Lakers game.
I was under the impression it was just that game.
It's just going to be a one game? Okay.
Which I still say you could have suspended him next year. You just did your team a disservice by sitting him out that game for a punch. I mean, look, did he swing on him? Kind of. He jabbed him in the chest.
But in the chest. Like, if he hit him in the face then that's one thing.
But, I mean, ultimately, by sitting Rudy out, you hurt your team, and then someone else will go over on this side. Well, TJ, he hurt his team by throwing the punch. Sure. Absolutely true. But I bet you to a man, they would have been like, they would have rather had him on the court against the Lakers. They more than likely would have won that game with Gobert. And, you know, but again, he put himself in that position. He put his team in that position. So
iffy with back spasms, apparently, Rudy Gobert. Interesting. Mm.
But, you know, you talked about the Thunder. We got to look at this Pelican squad, right? Because you look at this team, man, and
they're so good.
If you put Zion on this team, you know, when he went out the beginning of January, I believe the Pelicans were one game behind the Nuggets for the best record in the West. And then you have people calling this man a bust. I think he's already shown when he plays that he does have the skill set and he is good. So you can never label him a bust. Like, I don't care if he never played again.
Yeah.
I think maybe your argument could be he was the number one pick and he only lasted X amount of years. Let's just say, like, he never played after today. But I don't think you can really ever say he was a bust. Like, his body gave out maybe. He had injuries. Maybe there's something mentally going on. Well, but, like, in terms of his skill set and playing – you can never say the dude was a bust.
In terms of skill set, absolutely not. He's one of the best players in the league when healthy. But if you just never play, if you're always injured, then you are a bust. Because if you look at that draft, they could have picked Ja Morant. Nobody knew that Ja Morant would become this good, except maybe Jerry West. He was talking about it before the draft. But looking back, if Zion doesn't play again or if he's just always injured, then he is a bust. It's unfortunate. And listen,
I don't consider that in terms of the other people you look at as busts. I think there should be a separate category then, because I'm not going to say.
I mean, a bust doesn't average 26 a game.
Yeah, and 26 and 8. Like, you just don't.
But has he even played 50 games in a season before? I don't even think he's done that.
He's missed a lot of time. We all know that. But if you just look at his impact, I mean, they were the 2 seed or whatever they were when Zion goes down. He hasn't played since January 2nd. They immediately lost 14 out of 17 games, including a massive losing streak of, 10, 11 games in January. And they really had to scrap and battle. They went on a great run at the end of March to even make the play-in.
If I'm his teammates, I'm incredibly, incredibly disappointed with him.
Well, I think it's what Stephen A. kind of said earlier in the week on the big show. Like, the talent is there. Injuries, you can do nothing about. It's what are you doing to prevent injuries, to rehab from injuries? And if his teammates have an issue, if there's something there of what Zion's doing, then, yeah, that needs to be addressed. And then that can go into whatever you want to call him, bust or what have you. I'm not going to call Zion.
I'll call him soft.
He might very well be.
I definitely wouldn't call him soft.
I'll call him soft for what he did yesterday. I understand that the mental part is such a huge part of the game, but when you're getting a max contract, you're cleared physically to play. You are cleared physically by the doctors to play. You're healthy to play. And you have a win or go home game, and you decide not to play. That's ridiculous to me. That is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think you can take Zion seriously as a potential superstar guy that can take you to a championship level type of game, because that mentality, you cannot win with a player who has that mentality.
But again, we don't know. First of all, you calling him soft. You just said that a girl shrieking would scare you, so you shouldn't call him soft, first and foremost.
It's different.
But like, we don't know what's going on. Like, and if there was something, if he wasn't doing these things, I assure you, it would come out from the team. Somebody's boy would say something. Someone right. on the team would say, like, man, this dude, like, you would hear about it. And as far as I know, we haven't heard any of his teammates. We haven't heard anyone associated with the squad talk bad about this guy. Yeah, the only one who's talking about him are the press and the people wondering what's going on. So I'm not going to call him a bust. I can't say he's soft. I don't know if mentally something's going on. I don't know physically. Look, I'm not Zion, but I do recall I dislocated my kneecap once, right? And I'm not a world-class athlete anymore. I had nowhere near the amount of rehab and the type of rehab he had. I had decent rehab for a kid who did it that didn't have insurance. Let's put it that way. But I do know for months, man, it took me, I had to sit there and think every time I walked down the flight of steps for months. I had to force myself to put my left leg down and remind my brain had to like go, you can do this. And that's just me just trying to walk down the flight of steps. So I don't know, like, this was his hamstring, obviously it wasn't his knee, but you just don't know mentally what's going on.
I understand.
So I'm not gonna like call this man the 6'8" 285 pound monolith soft or a bust. I personally can't do it.
But they showed him in warmups and he was dunking the basketball. He was making explosive moves. I understand that there is a mental hurdle when you come off an injury. It is tough. You are in your head. But like I said, when you are considered the best player on the team, a franchise level player, in a win or go home game, you have to play. Do you think Michael Jordan or Kobe or LeBron or any of these guys would ever sit out this type of game given that type of situation? Absolutely not. There's just not a chance. And I'm a Zion fan. I have been a Zion fan since he was in high school and he went to Duke, which is my favorite basketball college team. So I've always enjoyed Zion, but what he's shown me is that he's not mentally strong. He's just not. And he doesn't do the steps that he needs to do to get in better shape. Every single year, he's out of shape when he comes into the league. So it's a problem with him right now. And yeah, if I'm a New Orleans fan, I'm upset.
He played 29 games this year, did not play all of last year. And then in the 2021, which was only 72 games that year, he played 61 games and was awesome, obviously, 27 and 7. We'll see. Obviously, this is a legacy type deal. I mean, he's only 22 years old, so lots of time to figure this out, and then we'll look back in 10 years and be like, man, remember when Zion got off to a slow start? Steph Curry got off to a slow start in his career too, with the injury.
Exactly. So, you know, he was a guy who
you never know.
You thought, okay, this kid's not ankles. He's got bad ankles. It's never going to work. Here's another guy. Might be the MVP of the league this year, Joel Embiid. His first three seasons, he played 31 games in three seasons.
Yep.
He did not play for 2 years in a row.
Yep.
And he had that, you know, that bust label, that soft label. Well, tell me that he's a bust now or tell me that he's soft now. No, his body got right. The fact of the matter is the human body is not made to be that big. I don't believe this,
or
right?
Or explosive.
You're not meant to be 7'2", 290 pounds. You're not really meant to be 6'8", 290, however big Zion is. So, you know, the bodies are different. I'm just trying to look at this in a way where I just don't want to call these athletes who do things that none of us, and when I mean us, I mean everyone watching can do. I just feel like there's got to be something more. I don't believe that the man just said, oh, I could play basketball, but you know what? I don't feel like playing today, even though I know he said, I got to feel like Zion, which I still don't understand what that means.
I have no idea what he means.
It's just hard for me to believe someone would be like, nah. Go ahead. Go out and play without me. I'm good.
I mean, Ben Simmons was very similar.
Yeah, but apparently he did have a hurt back. And apparently there was something going on upstairs. I shouldn't talk about Ben Simmons because I'll get frustrated and I'm too close to that.
I'm not rooting against Zion. I want him to succeed. The league is better when Zion Williamson is healthy. He is a superstar level talent.
Superstar.
And just the highlight reels alone, he's an incredible player. So I'm rooting for him to get healthy and get in shape and have a long career.
And just that team. That team has so much potential when they're at full strength with B.I. and C.J. and some of their role players, you know, Herb Jones and Trey Murphy and Alvarado. That's a fun, exciting team that can kind of really spice things up in the West. I mean, the West is already super stacked. But, again, also pulling for Zion. Love watching him play. I want him to be out there. If he says he can't go, he can't go. We have no choice, you know, but to take these guys at their word. Can we criticize? Sure, but we have no idea.
By the way, at the end of that game, when the Pels were down 4 with a couple seconds up, that play where I think it was Hayes caught the ball, did kind of almost like a taut, you know, what was the NCAA game where the guy caught
it? And he caught it and then flipped it back?
Yeah, I mean, Villanova did that once. They won the national title, but that play, the catch and then the dish to B.I., and look, 50% of the time, that's going to get called a foul.
Yeah,
you know, it very easily could have been, and that could have been a 4-point play, and that could have tied the game. Like, B.I. definitely thought he got fouled. It's really hard to tell, though, on the replay, but, you know, that's a 50-50 right there, depending, like you said yesterday on the Big Show, whoever's reffing that game. So the whole thing could have been different, but that Pels team is not bad, man, and you put Zion back on there, you got to watch out. But he's got to be out there, Adam. He's got to be out
there. He's got to be out there at some point. All right, we got to talk about him, guys. I know you don't want to do it. We got to talk about him.
Who?
We got to talk about the Lakers.
I mean, look, they're in the playoffs. I'm on board. We're talking about them.
7-seed Lakers survive. What a terrible end of that game. The fourth quarter of that game, it felt like we were all being punished for something we did in former lives, that we were forced to watch that. I mean, Minnesota has a 15-point lead at one point. Mm-hmm. It's 80-65. Sarah and I are watching Ted Lasso, and I got it on the small TV, and I'm just like, I don't need to pay attention to this, but I'll just keep it on just in case. Oh, Ted Lasso, that's super funny. Wait, what's the score now? What's going on? How come no one can make a shot? What?
Yeah, they went like 8 minutes and didn't score a field
goal. It was ridiculous. I feel bad. I mean, it's one of those situations, too. It's like, talk about Anthony Edwards, how much we love this guy, how exciting he is. Mm-hmm. He's an up-and-coming superstar in the NBA. Absolutely no shows. Rudy Gobert, that whole situation, the injuries going on there. I wanted it for them more than they wanted it for them. Like, could they have tagged in Craig Kilborn? I know he was courtside.
There.
Could he have came off the bench and
puts on your martini, Craig. Time to shoot a couple jump shots.
Get some jumpers up, Craig. I know you still got it in you. And then LeBron makes the smart basketball play, which he seemingly does 98% of the time, to a wide open Schroeder, and then the stupid call at the end. I mean, shouldn't have called that whistle.
It was a foul, though.
What with the landing spot? He's got to get.
Well, he hit his hand.
Did he hit his hand? I was looking at his feet.
He hit his hand. The ball was already out.
Right.
But he hit his hand and he did bump him.
He did the landing spot. I mean, big ups Mike Conley to hit those free throws. The first one I thought he kind of short armed it. And then it kind of rolled over. But let's just talk Lakers here. What chance do you give them in the second in this opening round against Memphis? Are we going to see another Shannon Sharpe situation? This is going to be a wild series.
I mean, we can only hope.
Like, I think this is going 7 games.
Yo, it's going to be crazy because all I hear about is, you know, who's going to guard AD?
Nobody can guard Ja.
Well, I'm saying, they're like, who's going to guard AD and stuff? But, yeah, who on the Lakers is going to guard Ja? But then again, who's going to guard LeBron? And then you're going to have – this is going to be some interesting story because Dylan Brooks is going to – do we have an over-under the amount of technical fouls are going to get called
in
on
this
Dylan
game? Brooks?
In this series, I think we should probably bet the over on that. He's going to get teed up.
Doesn't the 15 throughout the year carry over? So if he gets teed up –
that is true in the playoffs.
He's going to get suspended.
And did he reach 15?
Oh, for sure. I think he got to 16.
All right, so then I take that back. Maybe he won't. But he's not. He's not going to be on his best behavior. He'll know how to be on his best behavior.
See what he was wearing the other day?
Yeah, he looked like Superfly, man. You know what I mean?
Man, he did the straightened his hair and everything. That was wild.
I loved it, man. I hope he plays a game like that.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh, he'd be like one of them 70 super pimps. You know what I mean? Like, Super
this series
fly.
Is going to be nuts. Honestly, the Lakers have nobody to guard John Morant. How?
No, maybe Schroeder. Maybe.
How is how is D'Angelo Russell and Dennis Schroeder going to stay with Morant?
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, look, they're guards, and it's not like they can't get the job done. I mean, Jaw's going to go off and get his, but they've got guys. They're just going to have to run a bunch of guards at him. But this dude's like the Energizer Bunny, too. I never see him get tired.
I've never seen him tired.
So,
what chance are you giving the Lakers in this series, Adam? Do you expect them to win? I have that whole conspiracy rant that I went on yesterday. It was a little tongue in cheek, but it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if we see a couple Scott Foster games and suddenly, and suddenly the Lakers are up 3-2 and everyone's like, how did that just happen?
I agree. The NBA's best interest for the Lakers to advance, absolutely. But despite, you know, AD and LeBron being incredible Hall of Fame level talent, I just saw that game and listen, they barely beat Minnesota in overtime against a Minnesota team without their all defensive center, with their superstar shooter going 3-for-17 from the field and two of their clutch role players out, and they barely beat the Timberwolves. The Lakers are just sloppy. Like, towards the end of the game, they made so many bonehead mistakes, even though they won the game. You can't be sloppy against the Grizzlies. I think it'll go, like, six games, and I have Memphis winning. A key matchup to me also will be Jaren Jackson against Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Because Jaren Jackson is arguably the best defensive player in the entire league this year.
Seems like he's going to win it.
Yeah. And so he's going to have to... As we always say, you can't stop AD, but you got to contain him. He's that type of player where if he contains him to like 18 points, 20 points, 8 rebounds, doesn't let him go off, then I just think that Memphis has the overall advantage. And like we've been talking about with Ja Morant, like he's just going to destroy the Lakers.
I mean, you guys forget the Lakers are really good defensively.
Now after this trade.
So
after the trades,
And that's something to take into consideration.
Right? They were historically bad in the beginning of the year. But, yeah, they are – look, credit where credit's due. The Lakers are a different team. They have been a different team after the trade deadline. What were they, 16-7 or something? Was that the stat that I saw? Something like that?
I think it was even better than that.
Was it better than that? They played great down the stretch. They had a great march. They needed to. They needed to have a great march to get into this situation, and they did. So hats off to them. How much do they have left? Does LeBron have one final amazing playoff series left in that body of his?
Who's going to guard LeBron?
Who knows?
Will it be Brooks or Bane? Or that's what I'm interested in. What will the matchup be in terms of guarding LeBron?
Yeah. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. The other exciting first-round series in the West, with all due respect to Suns, Clippers.
That's going to be the best series of the first round, in my opinion.
I agree.
Really? Is Paul George going to play?
Probably not.
Then why would you think that would be better than Kings, Warriors, or Grizzlies, Lakers?
Just because I do.
I'm asking you to explain, sir.
Well, I'm a Clippers fan, so that's why I
know,
I feel.
But aren't you realistic?
These people who act like the Clippers have no chance. The Suns have four players. Who else on that team scares you?
They're four really good players.
They're four really good players, but you got a point guard who's aging who gets hurt all the time. Okay, you've got an unbelievably talented superstar, Hall of Fame top 15 player who's coming off of multiple injuries, right? You've got Durant. That's Durant and Paul. Then you've got DeAndre Ayton, who sometimes plays like Tarzan and then sometimes plays like Jane. And then you've got Devin Booker, who is going to get you 25-30 a game. And I'm not buying this fact that, like, this Phoenix team can't be beat because, for one thing, and you and I talked about this on the big show, when it comes to getting buckets, sure, but there's a lot more that goes into this defensively. And it's about, matchups and switches and, like, covering up for this guy's weakness and knowing where people are going to be on the defensive side. And I don't know after 9 games if they're going to have that type of chemistry with Kevin Durant. Like, we're going to have to see. But in no way, shape, or form can I believe these people, like, I think 16 experts all picked the Suns. Not one person other than Perk gave the Clippers a chance. And I find that to be a little ridiculous.
Did Perk pick the Clippers to win?
I believe he did pick the Clippers.
I agree with you, TJ. I believe the series can go 7.
Oh, interesting.
The Clippers are deep, bro. Yeah. They're the deepest team in the playoffs right now.
very deep. And I've been hearing some reports. I don't know for sure if it'll happen, but some people are saying that Paul George will come back eventually in the series. Maybe not the first couple of games, but that he will come back. And yeah, I think we are underestimating the Clippers right now. And we're underestimating how good Kawhi Leonard really is. Exactly.
He's that dude. He's proven to be that dude.
And I can't wait to see that matchup with Kawhi against KD. There's one of the best matchups in the entire league right there. Two Hall of Fame players going at it right now.
Because one thing about Kawhi is we know he's going to do it on both sides of the ball at a very high rate. So he's going to be busting hump on D. He's going to be busting ass on O. Kawhi is that dude, man. And I'm excited. And I hope he takes this personally.
And I think you're right that the depth of the Clippers bench can make the difference in it going seven or even the Clippers winning. The Clippers have, like, probably, arguably, maybe the best bench in the league, if you really look at it. So, yeah, the Suns are top heavy, but when they get tired, that Clippers depth with, you know, the role players, the Norman Powells, the Nico Batums, you know, Eric Gordon, exactly.
You know, Bones Highland coming in, injecting. Then you got Russ, who's just been playing great, who's kind of, like, found out his spot on the team, understands his niche.
You got Russ and KD going against each other, I think, the first time in the playoffs this year.
That's true. That's a wild storyline. Phoenix did lead the West in opponent's points per game, just under 112. That's going to be exciting.
But again, Chris, that's just because I'm more invested in this.
Sure.
Cavs-Knicks.
Oh, maybe you guys can
convince
me.
This is going to be a good series, too.
Oh, I'm going to get to the East in a second. I just wanted to finish up in the West.
And do I know the Kings? By the way, Woj bomb just happened. Mike Brown just was named Coach of the Year
for
the
Kings. He deserved it.
I think that's low-key going to be a really good series, too. And, you know, the Kings just have to – I don't know what they have to do to win this game. It's almost like, you know, the young upstart.
They got to run, and they got to shoot well. If Golden State has a couple of these games where they're just, you know, 25 threes in the game, like, look out.
I don't think the Kings have a chance in the series.
Really?
No, I just don't.
Yeah, the Warriors are big favorites.
I think they'll win maybe one or two games if they're lucky. Maybe they'll get game one. But the experience factor to me is just too much with the Golden State Warriors. They've been there every year for the last 8-9 years. Yeah, they're getting a little older, but
you're not worried about the 11-30 road record.
No,
the
that's
Warriors?
The regular season. They've had all types of issues in the regular season. You have Gary Payton Jr. or the second getting traded to them. You had Wiggins out for multiple games. You have the punch in the face from Draymond to Jordan Poole. But look now, if you look at the Golden State Warriors, Wiggins is coming back. They're all healthy right now. They just have too much talent. And I do like the Kings in the future, but right now they just aren't ready for the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs.
Top two scoring teams in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors. 121 for Sacramento, 119 for Golden State. It's going to be an explosive, offensive, super entertaining, high scoring up and down, kind of like those games in the 80s where it's like, I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if we see 150, 145.
Look, this Kings team put up, a buck overtime. 76 against the Clippers? 176 points? So.
Two overtimes, but that's a lot of points.
I want to see one of those old-school Denver Nugget Phoenix Suns from the 80s
Michael
games
Adams.
Where Alex English has 45 points, you know, and we're looking at 160 to 150. Like, that's what I want. Buckets, baby, buckets.
Yeah, scary. Any chance the Nuggets get upset in the first round?
I mean, look, as Kevin Garnett once famously said, anything's possible, but I don't know.
OKC takes a couple of games there and puts a little scare
into Denver. See this definitely being a series.
Yeah.
You know?
OKC played really tough down the stretch, man. And obviously they got two super nice players.
Yeah.
I mean, Giddy, the crazy thing about watching Giddy play is that he doesn't really have any, like, moves per se. He just has, like, a quick step, and he's able to just get by people all the time. He doesn't have, like, a crossover or anything crazy. He's just such a solid player, and he's so young.
He essentially had a 30-point triple-double last night, and he was just kind of, like, super casual about it.
Yeah, he looks like he'd be, like, the lead in a WB movie about a high school basketball team, you know? Like, he's got all the girls are staring at him. We're wondering how he's this good of a player. He's got the Australian accent. Yeah. That guy's a superstar in the making, and obviously Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's – to me, he's the most improved player in the league this year. He's just elevated to an absolute superstar.
Yeah.
That team has such a bright future.
They're
with all
so
the first-round
young.
Draft picks they have. And we're forgetting about Chet Holmgren, who was injured this whole year. You have him coming back, and you have multiple first-round picks over the next 4 years. This team is going places.
And Lou Dort balled out.
Lou Dort went crazy last night.
So
pretty good, his season average in the first half.
Yeah, it finished with 27.
All right, let's go to the East real quick before we finish this up. I think we can all agree, right? Cavs-Knicks is going to be the best first round matchup. What do you guys see there?
Close series. I've talked about before. I just see the Cavs winning this. Donovan Mitchell, best player out of any of those two teams. So, yeah, I can see it going six or seven, but you have the combination of Garland and in the inside presence of Evan Mobley. I just think it'll be just a little too much for the Knicks to handle. I'm looking forward to that Garland versus Brunson matchup. I think that'll be a fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty wild. Kind of comes down to Julius Randle's health, right,
TJ? Absolutely. That ankle is going to be the key. If he can get back on that court, then I might even go as far as to say I think the Knicks can win. But if Randle's going to be out, you know, one or two games, I think you got to go with the Cavs.
Yeah, I think so.
Quickly is an important player for the Knicks also. That's the type of guy that can score 30 in a game. So the Cavs need to watch out for him. If he gets hot, then, yeah, the Knicks can win the series for sure.
Yeah, possible sixth man of the year. RJ Barrett, our buddy Ben Lyons, favorite player of all time. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a super fun series. I think it goes six or seven as well. I don't disagree with you guys there. Any worry, TJ, about the Brooklyn Nets?
I mean, look, there's always a worry, right? At this point, anything can happen.
They've turned into a nice team. Mikal Bridges has been awesome.
They have. But, I mean, look, the Sixers should take this series in, what, five, six at
you
the
think
most
so?
Games?
I mean, again, it depends on health of James Harden.
Well, so far they've been healthy, and that's great.
Yep.
So, and this is the healthiest I know Embiid's been going into the playoffs in a while. And Harden, you know, he low-key, the guy led the league in assists this year. How many players have had multiple seasons of leading the league in scoring and assists? I guarantee there haven't been many that have done it more than once. And James, I think this is the second time that he's led the league in dimes, and he's, I think, a three-time scoring champion. So, you know, man, Maxey, we just need Tobias Harris to, you know, be that 15, you know, 20-point scorer that he can be. I think the Sixers, I don't want to say it should be easy, but I would be shocked if this went seven. I think the Sixers should win this in, honestly, five or six.
Yeah, I think if all goes as I mean, as planned, I think the Warriors and Lakers are going to move on.
I thought we were talking Sixers next.
I know, but I'm talking about the next round. I'm talking about the second round of the playoffs. If all the teams that win expect us to win this second round.
You think the Lakers are going to?
I think the league might twist some things, but even still. It has the possibility of being the greatest second round in NBA playoffs history if you just look at these possible matchups. Okay, who do you got moving on Friday night? I know by the time people listen to this, and by the time we return next week, we'll be well into the first round. But tomorrow night, Bulls, Heat, Adam.
I got the Heat moving on, unfortunately.
Thunder T-Wolves.
I've got the T-Wolves bouncing back and getting
really?
Home
I'm
court.
Going the opposite way. Yeah. I think both road teams win tomorrow, TJ.
Man, because both of the road dogs won prior round, right? The play-in games were. Did the home team win?
Yeah, no, both 10 seeds won. Yeah, both 10 seeds won yesterday.
I'm going to say this. I think Chicago is kind of going to ride a wave a little bit.
That's what I think.
I think they're going to take out the Heat because I can't see Kyle Lowry hitting for 33 again. I just can't.
I don't see Jimmy Butler playing that bad again.
Jimmy Butler won't play that bad. But I'm going to go Bulls, and I'm going to go Thunder only happens when it rains, and it's been raining a lot. So we're just going to go with OKC. I'm going to go Thunder Bulls winning these.
We can get some Fleetwood Mac. Okay, so when we come back next week, massive. The weekend is going to be huge. We got the play-in finals tomorrow on Friday night, and then four games Saturday, four games Sunday.
This is the best time of year.
This is one of the best times
of the year. It's the best time of the year.
So we're going to come back with a full mid-first round podcast next week, and we'll see where we're at. We'll see who's up 2-0, what series is 1-1, and appreciate you guys checking us out.
I just
out
need
again.
This man to remind everybody who he is.
Look at this
okay?
Guy.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. Hey.
Show him. Remind him who you are, Kawhi. You're a two-time champion, two-time MVP. You did it on two continents. Well, not two continents, two different countries. Let's go Clips. Let's make it happen. All right.
Could you imagine if the Clippers upset the Suns in Game One? Oh my God.
I don't think that's an upset, man. I'm gonna stick with that.
Yeah, all right. I wouldn't be shocked.
All right. Good luck to all our teams. Thanks you guys for checking this out. Good job, guys. Adam, TJ.
Did I really say two different continents?
You did. That was really awful.
But I caught myself.
All right. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Later.